In fact, allowing yourself to feel love and to allow someone to love you, there is a feminine strength with that. Hey, hottie, and welcome back to another episode of To Be Honest, the podcast. Thank you for spending your morning, your evening, your afternoon, or perhaps it's 3 a.m. where you are. Thank you for joining us for today's episode. My name's Amanda. You can call me Ducky. And today I'm virtually recording this podcast with some hectic bird noises in the background with Miss Cara Arreedy. Hello. Can you hear that?
Yes, I can hear that. Hello. And the birds are the unofficial, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh hosts of this podcast today.
It's like they knew that a podcast was happening because they all of a sudden started, like, they've gone away now.
Yeah, it's. Oh, I think it's just because it's early morning, so.
It could be.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you going, darling?
I'm doing pretty well. I am no longer, well, I shouldn't say no longer sick, but I'm very much over the hill with my sickness, so no more, like, you know, congested sounding Cara. My friend messaged me. She was like, I could tell you were sick for the podcast. I was like, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. But I'm feeling better. Enjoying the cooler Melbourne weather right now. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I'm coming to you live from the south coast of New South Wales. I am visiting my dad at the moment and really enjoying just like slowing down. There's a lot of cooler weather, enjoying my morning hot chockies and things like that.
Lovely.
But yeah, I'm doing pretty well, enjoying some rest, which is really, really nice.
That is really nice. So I guess we should jump right into the episode. But before we do, we should ask what we have to be honest about today. And so I want to throw it to you. What do you have to be honest about?
So today, for today's episode, we are doing a dating advice episode because we have boyfriends now. So, yeah. You know, we may have cracked the code of how to date in some capacity.
We have every answer as of recently.
And we thought it was about time we did another dating-centric episode. And when we put out the question to you of what questions you had, majority of you wanted to know how we met our partners. So today I'm going to be honest about how I met my boyfriend.
Oh, she's doing a little scapegoat, what she has to be honest about. She's making
This is something I'm being honest about. I don't know if I've shared this before. So.
Have you not shared how you met your partner before?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, go right ahead. It actually is a pretty cute story.
Yeah. So basically, I'd actually just come out of like going on a couple of dates with this guy who was just a no in the end. Like, lovely person, but just a no for me, you know? And I have this thing of like, I think when you say no to something that isn't right for you, it's in a way saying yes to what you do want, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel this with this story because shortly after this and after choosing not to keep going on dates with this person, I ran into an old friend at another friend's 30th birthday party, and I used to work with her when I was back in my hospo game. And I didn't really talk to her most of the birthday because we were opposite ends of the table. Cara, you were at the birthday too. You experienced this from the very beginning.
I really did.
And she came over to me as she was leaving and she was like, are you dating right now? And I was like, kind of. Like, I'm open to dating someone sort of thing. And she was like, oh, I feel like you would really, really like my friend, he's vegan, yada, yada. Would you be open to going on a date with him? And I was like, okay, sure, why not, sort of thing. Deep apologies for all the birds in the background. It's like really giving coastal town vibes right now. And I'm like, I can just tell the mic is picking it all up. Hopefully it's giving some nicer, and like a nice backing track.
Nice ambience.
Story. Yeah. But basically, I got set up on a blind date with my now boyfriend. And I was absolutely shitting myself the first time I went on a date with him. It's the first date I've been on during the day as well. We went for like a breakfast date. And I didn't know anything about him except for his name and that he was vegan. I barely knew what he looked like because, like, his Instagram doesn't really have anything on it, like any, like, proper photos of him. And, yeah, then that's the rest is history. That's basically how we met. We got set up on a blind date, which I feel like is a fun story to tell because I honestly never thought that I would meet someone in that kind of way, and I never thought I'd have even the confidence to put myself out there in that kind of situation. So, I mean, Kara saw the morning of. I was, like, literally, like, panicking, absolutely being like, I don't want to go, blah, blah, blah. And yeah. Then thank God I went, honestly, because he is the best. Yeah. So
it's very interesting, like, the concept of being set up on a blind date, but I guess, like, I've never really realized, but I've previously thought of that as, like, fully blind. Like, you're kind of just, I don't know, like, I don't even know how you'd meet someone and go on a blind date if you weren't, like, yeah, recommended by a friend. But, like, it makes sense that, like, you know, a mutual friend would be able to be like, hey, like, you guys might get along. Do you want to go on a date together? Yeah. You don't have to know each other before you do that. So it makes sense that it's worked out, I think.
It was funny because then, like, a few months in, we had, like, a double date with her partner as well. And she was like, honestly, I thought you guys might go on a few dates, but I didn't think that it would, like, really, like, you know, you guys would connect so well. And I think, and my boyfriend and I have shared with each other, it kind of has come as quite a beautiful surprise to everyone involved that we get along so well, that we connect so well, which is, like, a really, really nice feeling. Yeah. What do you have to be honest about today?
Well, you know what? Since we're allowed to be honest about how we've met our partners, I'm going to shelve the thing that I was going to be honest about because I often struggle to think of things for these episodes. So I'm going to shelve it, what I was going to say, because I'm going to keep it for probably next week's episode. And instead, I'm going to be honest about how I met my boyfriend.
Slay.
Because we're allowed to do that, apparently. I say we're allowed, like, this is not 50% my podcast and I can do what I want at any given moment anyway. Okay, so I have to be honest about the fact that I have known my boyfriend for, well, technically I went to high school with him, but we weren't friends in high school. But I've known him for, like, 8 years now, like, known him well for 8 years. And we actually previously, I wouldn't even say dated, we went on a date previously. We had, like, hooked up previously. And, you know, it just kind of, like, this was, like, early 20s. And it just was, like, not right at the time. I definitely had, like, feelings for him back then. But it just wasn't right in that moment 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago. Oh, my God, frightful to think that my early 20s were 9 years ago. Ooh. Anyway. So basically we've been friends for, like, good friends for quite a long time now. And we'd kind of always, like, reconnect, like, when I'd come back to Melbourne and stuff, and we would go to the same events or, like, you know, see friends at the same time. And it was always, like, that really, I don't know, like, that obvious, like, connection, I think. Like, it was one of those situations where, like, everyone would comment on it every time we were together. Like, everyone would be like, oh, you guys, like, are you, like, strangers would be like, are you together? People who know us would be like, are you guys interested in each other? Like, that kind of thing. So I think it was, like, something that maybe we both knew was there, but especially since I moved to the Gold Coast, it was a bit more, there's a roadblock there, some might say.
Yes.
and then recently we both went to a wedding and we were, like, you know, we were hanging out and it kind of, I don't know, I guess it was just, like, the right moment to discuss, like, you know, it's been so long. We clearly have feelings for each other. Do we want to explore this further? And the answer was yes, obviously. And the answer also had to be yes, but also it's going to be a long distance relationship since I live on the Gold Coast currently.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was, like, you know, it was definitely, like, a nice, like, I don't know, I guess, like, a full circle moment because, like, it was this situation of, I think once we both kind of really committed to the fact that we're going to try a relationship and try dating, we realized how much we both wanted to do that for, like, such a long time, but just, like, never thought it was a possibility. And it's a really nice, for me, it's a really nice, like, reminder that, you know how they say, like, right person, wrong time? That's kind of how I feel like it was with my boyfriend and I back when we were in our early 20s. Like, I think there was, like, a lot of stuff going on for each of us that just made it, like, not the right time. We had a lot of growing to do individually. And we keep talking about how, like, we could have been together, like, you know, 8 years ago. And we keep talking about how, like, that actually wouldn't be the ideal. Like, even though we had feelings for each other long before we actually got together, it's best that this is the situation now. This is the time now that we've actually started dating, because we're both at our best selves and we're both able to bring our best selves to the table, which I think is really nice, and a really good place to be in. So
lovely.
That's our little story. Kind of like the complete opposite to yours and your boyfriend's, because yours is a blind date and I literally went to high school with my boyfriend. So
yeah.
Although fun fact is that went to high school, like I said, wasn't really friends with him. And then, like, 3 years after high school, I went to a party and I introduced myself to him, forgetting that we went to high school together. And he never lets me live it down, ever. The second I knew it was him, I was like, oh, of course. But, like, in the moment, didn't know. So anyway, that was a bit embarrassing. Yeah. But yeah, that's us.
Nice. Okay, so let's get into the questions for today's episode. We asked you on our Instagram at tbh.pod if you had anything you would like some advice on or for us to share our thoughts on. So make sure to follow us over there if you are ever looking to submit any questions for future episodes. So our first question for this one is, what are your thoughts on only ever dating one person from a dating app? I've been dating the person that I went on my first and only date from an app and I'm absolutely smitten. It felt like we had an instant connection and he is the loveliest man. I've had a couple of long-term serious relationships. I'm 28, so I know what I'm looking for and I don't feel like I'm missing out if I don't date anymore.
This question's interesting to me because for me it answers itself.
I agree.
But I also definitely see what this person, like the mindset this person's in, and I completely relate to it because I do think this person is overthinking and maybe being a little bit like she's obviously like anxious that she's going to make like, you know, a wrong decision and stuff like that. And I do think that maybe to an extent there's this culture around like the fear of like settling, quote unquote settling, that's like come up. And I feel like that's what I'm getting from this question is like, you know, am I settling if I just date, like seriously date and potentially like marry and stuff like that, the first person who I come across on a dating app? And my answer is no. Like, if you feel like you aren't missing out if you don't date more, if you feel like this person's meeting your needs, they are like giving you the things you want, that you know what you want, and that you're being honest with yourself about like how happy you are and how like, you know, well fitted you are to each other, then like, the fact that you just happened to find the only good man on a dating app, like it's, I'm kidding, but like the fact that you just found him quite like quickly, I guess, is nothing to be concerned about.
Like, yeah, I agree. And yeah. I think that like the dating culture that we're in encourages like this exploration and this like dating around and sort of seeing what's out there sort of thing. And, you know, I think that that can be romanticized a lot and it can make us think that we need to do that in order to find what we're looking for. But you can also find what you're looking for the first time. And also the time spent by yourself can allow you to realize what you're looking for, you know? So like, I don't think that dating multiple people from dating apps is, you can do it if you want to do it. And if you need to do it to, you know, find the right person, or perhaps you're someone who isn't looking to commit to someone right now, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, you can also know what you're looking for, find the right person who also knows what they're looking for, and have a beautiful relationship. It's no different as well meeting someone on a dating app to meeting someone in real life and being like, yes, this is my person, you know? And I think that's something to really be mindful of as well.
Yeah, I think if you know yourself and you know what you're looking for and you're being honest with yourself throughout your relationship, because as we know, like obviously like the ideal is that your relationship lasts forever, I guess, because no one wants to be heartbroken. If you're being honest with yourself, then you'll know whether it's right or not. Like if you're continuously honest and like understanding that like as you change and your relationship grows, like is this person still right for me? And, you know, if the answer to that question is yes, why would you spend your time scrolling on dating apps for longer than you need to? Like,
exactly.
In this situation, I just think about the fact the alternative to this is, you know, going against your intuition and your feelings and actively not committing to someone purely to explore other people. And if that doesn't feel right to you, then that is not right. Like, that is not the right choice. So I think from the sounds of it, you are just in a really great place with this person, and you don't need to think that you are missing out or doing the wrong thing by just dating this person who you found quite quickly on a dating app.
I agree.
Okay, so our second question is actually an interesting one, and I'm keen to hear your thoughts because I don't really know my thoughts, if I'm honest. I'm going to figure them out live on the podcast. The question is, what are your opinions on dating someone you work with? You've done this.
Yeah, Miss I have done
Duck
this.
Dog.
Yeah. I think it can kind of go either way is the best way to describe it. So, like, for example, when I dated someone I worked with, it was like a hospitality job. It wasn't, you know, something. I actually was his manager.
Vibes, girl boss energy.
But, you know, like, it was also in the workplace that I worked in, it was very normalized because there was like a lot of young people who dated each other there. So it wasn't a huge deal. I think, like, honestly, if we're talking honestly, like, the power dynamic with like management stuff is something to be conscious of, you know, like in a professional setting. When I was a manager and I dated someone, even in a pretty chill kind of setting, like workplace setting, I still went to my upper management and told them about the relationship before they found out about it, if that makes sense, just to like have some kind of level of professionalism so that they're aware if they don't want to roster us on together and that kind of thing. So I think that that's something to be aware of. But I think with dating someone you work with, it's actually a very natural thing to happen because in terms of the way that we socialize, we spend a lot of time at work, like especially if we're still someone who goes to work rather than works from home. Yeah. It's very natural that these people become our friends, and then it's very natural that we might date someone because we're in the same kind of world. It's like when you go to high school and you date people from your high school, or if someone is an actor and they are part of like a theater company, or they're part of like acting classes, they might date someone from their acting class. Because it's like, that's your community. That's people you naturally have something in common with. It's very easy to build that kind of connection. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's just something to be mindful of, that you don't spend all of your time together because you will work together. What if you also live together? And all of those kind of things. Like, it's just something to be mindful of, how that makes you feel. Do you feel like you need to consciously create more space? Do you feel like you need to explore a hobby that your partner doesn't have so that you do have like something different in your life and that kind of thing? I think that's something to be aware of. Because when I was in a relationship with someone I worked with, I spent a lot of time with them. And then I was also at work with them. And we had like, you know, if ever I had issues at work, I would be able to complain to them about it. And it was just kind of like a very kind of like intense thing, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, that makes sense. It could easily become a very like codependent almost like relationship, because you are, yeah, like you said, living and working and, you know, socializing and just spending all your quality like free time together. I agree with you for sure. I think like it obviously depends on your workplace, it depends on the type of job, it depends on like, you know, is it a career job, is it a casual job, is it something that you're not super attached to versus like something that you, you know, want to commit to for a long time and stuff like that. But I think on the whole, across the board, I agree with you that like, if you're going to date someone from your work, especially if there's like, you know, positions of power, like a divide there, definitely like, you know, maybe like talk to your HR or talk to your management about it. Make sure that like it's, you know, everything's like kind of like above board. Like the reality is that if your workplace has rules against that, you want to make sure that you are being open about it, because especially if it's like a job that's really important to you, you don't want to compromise it. And you want to make sure that you're doing everything the way that it should be done. And obviously, like you said, like there are, you know, good reasons for that to be, like, you know, for our manager to know that, for example, because if you are in a position of power or they're in a position of power, there might be some checks and balances that need to be put in place to make sure that, like, that's not being crossed. I basically think, like, what you said about kind of, like, looking at it from, like, the whole perspective, like, it's not just about, like, working with your partner. It's also about the fact that you go home with your partner, that you do your, like, you know, hobbies with your partner, or, like, or your interests, or, you know, you just spend a lot of time with them. Like, you need to look at the whole relationship at work and not at work to figure out, like you said, like, do you need to carve out, like, time alone? Do you need to, like, be very conscious about the fact that you'll need to spend time with other people? Like, what's the dynamic going to be if you live and spend a lot of your time and work together? And is that a dynamic you're happy with? Is it a healthy dynamic? And is it one that, like, is actually sustainable over time and will actually be conducive to, like, a very healthy, happy relationship over time? Because especially, like we're talking about before, the beginning of a relationship is, like, the most exciting time usually. So maybe it can feel totally fine to begin with, like, everything's great. But what happens if you get into, like, you know, a disagreement at home or at work? What if there's tension? Like, how are you going to navigate it? So maybe there's also a really good chance there to be open with each other from the get-go about, you know, what's going to happen if, and again, especially if, like, you know, one of you is in a position of power of the other at work, like, what's going to happen if there is a disagreement at work or at home? Like, how are we going to make sure that it doesn't affect work and vice versa and, like, our personal life? Like, how are we going to put up those kind of, like, barriers in a way? And I think as long as you're communicating and being open, it doesn't have to be, like, a hard no to dating someone in the workplace. It's just being very honest and aware of, like, how that can look and what you want it to look like.
Yeah. Okay, so our next question is, do you have any icebreaker tips on dating apps?
What a question. Well, if we're talking about, do you perceive this question as, like, you know, if you're matched with someone and you want to start talking to them?
Yes, because I think a thing that a lot of people have issues with on dating apps is the fact that they feel like they'll match with someone and they'll message them and then this person just, like, doesn't reply to them. And there's a lot of stuff in, like, social media and stuff about how, you know, messaging, hey, how are you, is a boring way to open. So some people literally, like, won't reply to that. Like, personally, I would, but, like, you know, I think that people have different expectations of what people message them on dating apps.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, you know, well, first of all, like, there are those, like, kind of lame prompts that, like, I know Bumble gives you, and I'm guessing, like, the other ones do as well. Like, maybe you can just use one of those, like, little questions that they suggest to you. I don't think there's anything wrong with a hey, how are you? Like, I think that if you know, if something on their profile, I would say my recommendation is this, and this is what I used to do when I was on dating apps for, like, 3 minutes at a time before I'd get over them. I would, you know, match with someone and I'd go to their profile and I'd have another look and, like, you know, see, like, you know, are they traveling in a photo? Do they have a prompt that's funny? Do they mention, like, a TV show that you like and stuff like that? And if there's anything that immediately pops into your head as, like, interesting or, like, a common interest or something that, you know, makes you want to ask a question or intrigued, I would say go off that, you know, be like, hey, whoever, I love The Office too. Like, what's your favorite episode or something like that? Like, that sounds super lame, right? But it's like, if it's a common interest that someone's noted, it could be, like, a really good conversation starter. But at the end of the day, I don't think a hey, how are you is bad. I think that if you're going to spend, like, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes trying to sit there and think of something super cool and witty and funny and interesting to open with, you're overthinking it already.
Yeah, and it's also, like, you're not really being yourself. Yes, like, I think we have this idea that we need to be, like, some kind of, like, type of person on a dating app in order to attract people. And I think that, like, this is going to sound super woohoo, but it's true. Like, the best thing that you can be is yourself. I understand that sometimes it can be difficult for things to translate on dating apps and things like that. But, like, you don't want to attract someone based on, like, conversation that isn't even true to who you are in the first place. Exactly. You know, like, it's you're not going to attract the right person by being that way anyway. And I think that that's really something to keep in mind, is, like, being yourself, communicating in the way that you do, talking about things that, you know, you enjoy, and learning things about this person in a way that you enjoy is really the best way to approach it. And, like, sometimes a hey, how are you is good. I used to always go for, like, a hey, how are you? And keeping in mind, I didn't have heaps of success on dating apps, but saying like, hey, how are you? And then seeing something about them that perhaps made you interested. So like if someone was like adventurous, I'd be like, hey, how are you going? Love your sense of adventure. What are you up to this weekend or something like that? Or like it doesn't have to be some like crazy, witty, charismatic thing. No. It can just be general conversation in the way that you communicate with anyone.
I completely agree. I think in terms of like other like icebreaker tips, like you could, I think even starting with like the, hey, how are you? And then like, or like maybe something more like, hey, like, what have you been up to this weekend? Or like, how's your week going? Or something like that, right? Or like, anything that's kind of like more specific. And then that way, if they're a good conversationalist, which you hope they would be if they're going to be interesting enough to date, you know, they'll hopefully give you like an answer that then you can go off. So let's just say they were like, oh, hey, like my weekend's great. Like I went to my favorite cafe and like read a book. You could be like, oh, like what's your favorite cafe? Or like, what book are you reading? Like, I love reading too. And like, that could be like asking more specific questions to get specific answers to go off with more like detail can be really a good way to like, I guess, like break the ice, because that way it's not like, hey, how are you? Yeah, I'm really good. How are you? I'm good too. And then you have to think of another random question out of thin air. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I completely agree.
Okay. So our next question is kind of similar to the last one, but I guess more progressed in the dating field, which is, how do you find discussion topics for a first date? Blanks in the conversation are my worst fear. This is such a common anxiety, I think, around dating. And I've definitely totally felt it.
I feel like everyone has this fear. Well, most people have this fear about like, what am I going to do if there's a pause? What am I going to do to try and fill the silence and that kind of thing? First thing I want to remind you is you're not solely responsible for filling the silence.
Yes.
And silence isn't necessarily a bad thing. Silence can indicate a level of comfort. It doesn't have to be awkward. If you try and embrace it a lot more, it can make it a lot easier.
But I completely
try and
agree.
Remember that they need to also be making the effort. Like, you can't carry this entire conversation by yourself.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's important to almost like remember as well that like absolutely no silence and blank in conversation can almost be more awkward than letting a very natural, normal break in the conversation happen. Like, I'm not saying sit there for 10 minutes in silence and don't try to make conversation. But I mean, like, you know, if there's like a minute pause where you're like reading menus, or like 10 seconds where you're both just like observing like what's going on around you on the date and stuff like that, that's not a bad thing necessarily. And it actually could be a really good opportunity to figure out like how you both feel in silence and in like, you know, those like in between moments. I personally think that getting comfortable with those moments is like probably the best thing you can do when you're dating, because not only are you not responsible for the whole conversation, and if you feel like you're afraid of silence like that, you're probably going to end up taking up way more responsibility than you need to take on. But also, it's just not realistic that there's never going to be a little break in the conversation.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to thinking about discussion topics, I really like to think about things that I also have a lot to say about and like would like to share about myself as well. So like, for example, big parts of my life are things like music. I love asking people like, what type of music do you listen to? Because then usually, you know, I can talk about what I like and it kind of creates a flow of conversation. Mm-hmm. I also really like doing things like, for example, netball is a big part of my life. So I'll say like, do you play any sports or like do any hobbies and stuff like that? Because then that creates space again for me to talk about, not that it's all about me, but like it just allows more of a flow of conversation between the two of you about what type of things you both enjoy. And I also recommend talking about things like, you know, like, oh, do you have any travel plans in the next year? That allows you to talk about things that you perhaps have done in the past or would like to do in the future in that way. And just allows you to connect on that level. But just remind yourself that like often like that first like 5 minutes is usually the most awkward of the entire thing because like from there conversation tends to flow, you know, like and you can even talk about if you go to a restaurant or a cafe, oh, have you been here before? Oh, you have. What do you like to order? Oh, my favorite restaurant is this restaurant. Have you been there before? Oh my God, this is going to create a flow-on effect, et cetera, et cetera. And I honestly think that like anything can be made into a good conversation. Absolutely. Like you're just trying to get to know someone and they're in the exact same boat as you are. So yeah, it's all going to be fine.
I completely agree. And like if the conversation's bad, you don't go on another date with them. That's just, you know, it might be an awkward hour, 2 hours, but like you're not going to die. Everyone's going to be fine. The earth's going to continue rotating. And it just means that they're probably not your person if it's too the conversation's too stilted and awkward. But I completely agree with everything you just said. I think those are some great discussion topics to have on a first
Thank
date.
Thank you. Okay, so our next question is, if you have doubts about a person, does it essentially mean that it is a no for you? I'm going to answer this question. Well, we're going to answer this question in a sense of, do we think that having doubts about a person means that it's a no for you, not for us.
Not for us.
Necessarily. Anyway, I have some thoughts, but I'd love to hear what you think, Cara.
Well, my first thing is that I think it really depends on the doubts because, you know, a doubt could be, oh, how would I relate to this person long term if this is something that they believe in or if this is attitude they have towards life? Like you can think like, I'm not too sure how this would work for me long term. Like I'm kind of doubting that it might be right for me, but you might want to still explore a relationship and see like, you know, how that can work and how that would look. And as we talked about before, there are not like no one's going to be perfect for you. On the other hand, there are big doubts that might be deal breakers. And I think that is like absolutely something that might mean it's a no. Like if you have doubts about whether you trust them, if you have doubts about, you know, whether you think that they are able to provide you with like the emotional space and like security and meet your needs and stuff like that. Like those are big doubts that might actually mean that it's a no. It really just depends in my mind what the doubts are and like how much they are affecting your relationship and your perception of the relationship. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you for the most part. I also think it's good to consider how your previous experiences can play into this as well. Because I think like, for example, even with the trust thing, like you might be carrying trust issues from previous relationships and therefore it makes you doubt your partner, but your partner's actually not doing anything to make you feel that way. It's just like a result of your previous experiences. And I think that like we all have exes, we all have experiences that we've had. We all have, you know, perhaps some family trauma, don't we all? And these things can impact the way that we feel in relationships. And I think that it's really important to remember that, to not put all this blame on your partner for something that you may be experiencing, regardless of what relationship you're in. And I think that's something to be aware of because, you know, you can doubt someone who is actually really good for you because of previous experiences, and that's not fair on your partner or the person that you're dating to do that. So I just think that's something to also keep in mind. I think this is a very like could be a very long discussion about like things to doubt people on, things to not doubt people on, but I think that having some self-awareness is key. Is this a them issue that they're not going to change and I can't deal with this long term, or is this something that's a me issue that I can work through?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I also think like if we're talking about general doubts, like fear or, I don't know, anxiety that you might be making the wrong decision, like, and that can come across as a doubt in your head. I also think that can be something that's like quite normal in a relationship. Like maybe like it's a bit scary. It's scary to think like, oh my God, is this someone I'm going to spend my whole life with? Is this someone who I want to make big life decisions with and stuff like that? Like, you know, I think that if you are an introspective person or an anxious person, maybe there are times where we lend a lot of weight to certain feelings that we might be putting too much emphasis on them when they actually are out of fear and vulnerability and like an anxiety rather than like a genuine doubt that it's going to work and be healthy and be good for us. So I think as long as you, like you said, as long as you're honest with yourself and self-aware and just, you know, committed to doing the right thing for yourself and your relationship, I think that the doubts that really, if there are any, the doubts that genuinely would make a difference and that do, you know, maybe say this might not be right, will make themselves clear over time.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so our next question is, how do I feel okay about the fact that my ex-boyfriend just started dating a 20-year-old? We are both 27. Duck Dog, you take this one away. How about that?
Well, I think this is quite common.
It is common, for sure.
I feel like a lot of men date younger women, especially I've seen this kind of age gap a lot. And I often reflect on the fact that I had this age gap with my ex. And I'm like, at the time, I didn't think anything of it. But now I'm like, that's bizarre. I'm still not as old as he was
when he was dating me. True.
Like,
that's quite weird. That is quite weird. I think that, you know, age gaps aren't always bad, but I do think that they can be very telling. And I think that hindsight, like you just said, Ducky, like, you know, at the time you didn't think heaps of it, but now that you've, you know, had that experience, you know that person better than you did at the time, or like you have a perception of them as a person, like it can kind of start to become a bit clear as to why someone might do that. Or and especially if it's a pattern, like obviously, like, you know, not every age gap relationship is an issue or it's toxic or it's, you know, bad and stuff like that. I mean, obviously within reason, if we're talking about like a very, very young person and a very, very old person, there comes an ethical standpoint can come in there. But, you know, in this situation, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is an awful relationship, but it can mean that. But they, at the end of the day, they are not your partner anymore. I'm going to assume that you're not in either of their lives. Maybe you just like know this from like social media or like friends of friends and stuff like that. How do you feel okay about it is a very hard question to answer because it really depends on how you're feeling about it. Like, what emotions is it bringing up? Are you angry? Are you, you know, just upset? Are you worried for this person, this 20-year-old? Like, are you concerned? I think all these things would be valid, but it really does come down to the fact that I think maybe a healthy amount of just ignoring it and trying to move on is important because at the end of the day, if it's your ex and their new partner, there's not really a whole lot that you have to do with it.
Yeah, I think like you don't have to feel okay about it, but you can like move forward because I personally, like, for example, like I look back on being in a relationship that had an age gap and I'm like, oh, I don't really feel okay about it, but I'm like moving forward knowing that it's something I've experienced now. And I think that like, if you are like, I wouldn't date someone 7 years older than me and like, I would feel uncomfortable if a man who was 7 years older than me started trying to date me, that is totally fine. And that's something that you can feel, and you can feel a bit weird about your ex-boyfriend like dating someone so young.
Absolutely. Because
it is like the difference between 20 and 27 is the stage of life difference. It's really, really telling, you know. Like, I think about now, like, I'm 29. I think about like trying to relate to a 22-year-old. Couldn't possibly. Like, how would I have anything in common? Not to say that that's like blanket statement, right? But like the majority of 22-year-olds, I wouldn't have similar life experiences to them at this point. And I think that that's like where the difference is. And so it's okay to feel uncomfortable that your ex, who you know very well, is dating a 20-year-old. It's fine. But it's also one of those things where it's like, if you are not involved, if there's not a high level of concern, that's something that you can try and work through and move forward from. I think that's like the best result for you. Yeah.
I completely agree. Yeah.
Okay. So our next question is, my boyfriend and I are very serious. We've been together for 5 years. We want to get married and start a family in the next few years, but none of my friends are in the same position. I don't know how to navigate this with them. Some of them are happily single and some of them are lonely.
This is interesting because my initial response is that we don't necessarily, I do think that, you know, being in like a similar position in life can foster connection and deeper friendship and stuff like that. And like, you know, relatability. And I think that that can be in a way an important part of friendship and connection. But I don't necessarily think that, you know, I have friends who are married with kids. And until recently I was, you know, deeply, deeply single. I'm still nowhere near close to getting married and having a house and having kids and stuff like that. And like, I personally think that relationships can still be very deep and meaningful, and like, you know, very close friendships can form between people in different stages of life like that. But I'm not super getting that vibe from this question. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think that something I want you to remember in this situation is that, first of all, someone's always going to be the first, and yes, it could be you. As well as that, even if you want to get married and start a family in the next few years, there's nothing to say that these friends that you have don't meet the love of their life and then like get married before you. For example, like, stranger things have happened, right? And I think that it's something to consider, the fact of like, what do you want to do? What's going to bring you joy? What's going to make you happy? If this is something that you like genuinely want to do, and this is a stage of life you're at, that's something that you can explore. And through going through that stage of life, you will naturally connect with people who are in the similar stage of life with you as well.
For sure.
But there is really no shame in being the first person to do it. And I think that it's something that you kind of just need to try and become comfortable with. And as well as that, remind yourself that like, whilst you have friends and family who are perhaps, you know, like you're saying, some of them are lonely, that it isn't your responsibility to put your life on hold for other people. And I think that you never know what's going to happen in the next few years. Literally, like, one of your friends could like meet the love of their life tomorrow, you know, yeah, and you just don't know how quickly that's going to move. You can never really predict what's going to happen. And I think that leaning more into that rather than leaning into the fear of what's going to happen, or perhaps the shame coming up of being that first person or something like that, I think that that's the kind of stuff that you need to lean into, that embracing the unknown element.
I completely agree. And I do think that like, while embracing the unknown can be scary and like, you know, you're asking like, I don't know how to navigate this with them. Like, I feel like you said, Ducky, that is coming from a place of maybe like fear of like how it's going to maybe change your friendships and change your relationships. And I think that's a very natural and normal thought to have, especially if they are like very good friends who you've had for quite some time, like friends who you really do cherish and value their time and their company and stuff like that. I do think that it's important to also remember that like, the nature of human friendship is that it does ebb and flow over time, and it will ebb and flow based on the position in life we're in. And that doesn't mean that you have kids and you get married and you're no longer friends with your single childless friends at all. Like, yeah, it just means that like, maybe, you know, you might have different you will have different priorities for time, just like, you know, they might have different priorities for a time. Like, friendships ebb and flow, and I think that if you understand that, that can still lend itself to very happy, loving, connected relationships, while still allowing everyone to explore whatever stage of life they're in, it becomes a bit less of a scary thing to embrace. Because navigating it is not just on you, it's on like the whole friendship group, it's on both sides of the friendship. Everyone has like an equal part to play in navigating and keeping a friendship alive. And like Ducky said, you need to do exactly what you want to do to be happy and live your best life. If that means getting married and starting a family before any of your friends do, then that's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so our last question for this episode is, I've been single for a while, but now I am in my first healthy and supportive relationship. At the beginning, I struggled a lot because I thought you can't be a strong feminist while being in a relationship with a cis man. I feel like in our generation, you have to be an independent, strong woman, and saying that I'm in a relationship and that I love to be in one and that I feel so good in it sometimes feels like a confession. Help. I relate to this.
Okay, cool. You take it away then, doll.
So, as we all know, ladies in the 80s. I am a feminist. I am. I'm an independent girly. I'm someone who, for a very, very, until very recently, for a very long time, I've, you know, not really been all that concerned with finding a romantic partner. Like, obviously, I wanted that connection and I wanted to experience it, but, like, I was very, I had a very full life by myself, and I think that lent itself a lot to being like, I don't need a romantic relationship or, you know, a man, if you want to, like, you know, go in that route, to feel content and happy and all that stuff. And that is all true. But I also think there is an element of female empowerment that is going the opposite way, which is saying that, like, yeah, you can't be, you know, a woman who loves to be in, like, a very, like, almost, like, stereotypical relationship with a man and have mm-hmm. that be healthy and happy and totally valid. Like, I do, I definitely feel that. Like, I felt this recently with my boyfriend where, like, we're talking about how, like, I have this, like, need, like, this not this need, this urge to, like, care for him in, like, very typical gender role ways. And like, that is something that I felt like pushback from myself for, because I'm like, I want to cook for him and I want to, like, help him with, like, you know, like, domestic things and stuff like that. And like, that feels weird for me. It felt weird for me to admit to begin with, because I felt like, I shouldn't do this just because I'm the woman. And then I had to be like, wait, I'm not doing it just because I'm the woman. I'm doing it because I want to do it, and because in a healthy relationship the caretaking goes both ways. It's just that people meet each other's needs in different ways, and that's exactly how I'm feeling in my relationship, and it sounds like how you're feeling in yours. And so I guess, like, if that gives you some perspective in terms of the fact that I'm also currently facing these kind of, like, weird feminist thoughts right now, it's that yes, there is, you know, something to be said for empowerment and independence and, you know, being a strong woman who can be all of these things in a relationship with a man, but that doesn't mean that you have to go against the grain so much purely for the sake of it. Like, it's just not necessary. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like you literally said everything that I was thinking. I also think that, like, part of being, like, a strong woman is allowing space in your life for things that do bring you joy. Mm. And I think that, like, there, just because you are in a relationship with someone does not make you not a strong, independent woman.
Yeah.
In fact, allowing yourself to feel love and to allow someone to love you, there is a feminine strength with that, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, especially if you have been someone who has been independent for a really long time, allowing someone in, allowing yourself to be vulnerable and all that thing, all those things, there's a lot of being a strong woman in that. And so I think that I understand where you're coming from, in the sense that, like, with being a feminist and being someone who, you know, has perhaps looked after themselves and really, really didn't perhaps think that a cis man would be able to meet their feminist needs in a way, you know, I think that it's really beautiful that you have met someone who does and who makes you feel good. And leaning into that is the best thing that you could do for yourself in this situation. And being strong and being confident in the fact that you're with a man who makes you feel seen and loved in all those ways. So, yeah, I understand that there's some shame coming up here, and I think it's valid given the social climate, but I think that it's really beautiful that you've met someone who makes you feel really good.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think that is a beautiful way to end the episode.
I agree. Thank you so much for being here and listening to today's episode. Thank you, Miss Cara Arredi, for joining me all the way from Melbourne. And as always, if you are after bonus content, we have 4 episodes every single month bonus on Patreon for our $9 tier, We have two bonus episodes for our $5 tier. Or if you want our public episodes a day early or just want to support us and buy us a coffee every month, you can check out our $3 tier. That's like half a coffee, but that's cool regardless.
Yeah. I'm not going to complain about any amount of coffee being bought for me. Ever.
Ever.
Thank you so much, guys, for being with us this week, and we'll be in your ears with another episode next week. Love ya.
Love ya. Bye.